Well, hello there. Welcome to Live with Lon today. We are so glad that you've joined us. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to dig into God's holy word. Remember what we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries. Say it with me. What do we study? Come on. The Bible. The whole Bible. Come on. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives. We're using the New King James Version of the Bible here in the book of John, and we're ready to go. Are you ready to go? Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to the word of God today. Lord, reveal yourself to us today through your word and through the illumination of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts and our lives. And we commit our time in the scripture to you today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, what? Amen, and what? Amen. You got it. Now, many of you may have heard the term exegetical preaching, or when we preach, we do exegesis, for example. What exactly does that mean? How is that different from expository preaching? Well, expository preaching and exegetical preaching really go hand in hand, but expository preaching is more speaking to the fact that we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we exposit the truth out of the Word of God systematically, moving through one verse at a time. Exegetical preaching is related to that. But it's a step deeper. Exegesis means, it comes from a Greek word, and a geomai, which means to relate or to reveal or to explain, and then ex a geomai means ex, means out of or from. So the word means to explain or to teach or to reveal from the scripture the real meaning and the real impact of whatever verse of scripture we're covering. It means to go deep to the Greek language or the Hebrew language or in a few passages the Aramaic, and to really go into the deepest understanding of that passage, to draw it out of the original language and the tenses of the verbs and the participles and the subordinate coordinate clauses and the main clause and all of this, and really dig into the deepest, most intimate meaning of the verse of scripture that we're studying. So exegesis is expounding the text, its exposition, but on the deepest level, the most intimate level of the passage. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, because basically, I believe exegetical, expositional preaching is the right way to preach the Bible. But the word exegesis, exegeomai, that word, the word that we translate exegetical or exegesis, is actually used in one of the passages we're going to look at today. And it is significant. So, buckle your seatbelt, put on your thinking cap, get ready to exegete the Bible, and away we go. We're in John chapter 8. We're moving through the Gospel of John until we get to chapter 12, and then we're going to rejoin John's Gospel with the other three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to cover the last earthly week of Jesus' life using all four Gospels. So that's our plan, and we're in John chapter 8. So let's go back and review just a little bit. Let's start at verse 19. Then they, the rabbis, said to him, "Where is your father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also." We talked about this 2 weeks ago. in terms of who is of God and who isn't. Go back and listen to that message. If you missed it, it's one of the most important messages you'll ever hear. Who is of God and who isn't. 20, verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. Friends, you go to Israel with me, and we're going to go right up on the Temple Mount, Lord willing, and right there to where the treasury was, and you'll be standing right where Jesus spoke these words. And it'll make a lot more powerful impact on you when you're standing there. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Then the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, Exodus chapter 3, Jehovah God spoke to Moses from the burning bush. We talked about this last week and said, my name is I am. If you don't believe I am Jehovah God, that is, you will die in your sin. And they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. Verse 26, and I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world, look at this, those things which I have heard from him. And they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Now, the verse I want us to look at here is verse 28. I do nothing of myself, Jesus said, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Okay. Jesus said, I speak the things that the Father has taught me. And you know, he said this many times in the New Testament. The things which I have seen with my Father, those things I declare to you. I always give you what my Father has given me to tell you. Jesus said this all the time. And so here, we have Jesus saying, verse 28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now look with me, if you would, at John chapter 17, the great high priestly prayer of the Lord before he went to the cross. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name, meaning the Father, to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them, look, the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And look down at verse 14. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word, the Bible, is truth. What is Jesus saying here in John 17? Several times he says, I gave them your words, Father. I revealed to them you and what I've learned from you and what you told me to tell them. Jesus says this all the time in the Bible. Why is this important? Well, look back with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, the very end of the chapter. And look at what the Bible says here, reading from the New American Standard version of the Bible. Verse 18, then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. The Lord God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I show compassion. Watch verse 20. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Behold, there is a place near me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and I shall come by while my glory is passing by, and I will put you in the cleft, in the canyon, the cave in the rock, and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. What's the Bible telling us here? Nobody can see God. Nobody has ever seen God, because as God says, nobody can see me and live. My awesomeness is so amazing that I would burn your flesh up on you like a consuming fire. I would vaporize you as a sinful human being. Now, I believe, covered by the blood of Christ, we can see the Lord. We're protected when we're covered by the blood. And I always think of unbelieving people who say, well, you just wait until I stand before God. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. No, you're not. No, you're not. Are you kidding me? If you can even stand up, it'll be a miracle. But God's holiness is so awesome. He will melt the flesh off of you like an atomic bomb vaporizes human beings. No, you're not giving, nobody's giving God a piece of their mind. Believe me. So, nobody's ever seen God before. And this takes us back to John chapter 1 in the New Testament. And this is the verse where my word exegete appears. And I want to show it to you. You ready? John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. Well, we just saw that in Exodus, the book of Exodus, right? Nobody's seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has exegeted him. He, the Son, has exegeted the Father for us. Wow. Wow. First of all, what does it mean when we say that Jesus is in the bosom of the Father? Well, let me read to you. I think the best sense of it is given to us by the Phillips translation. Listen to how it translates. We'll put it on the screen. It is true that no one has ever seen God at any time, yet the divine and only Son, now watch, who lives in the closest intimacy with the Father. He's in the bosom of the Father. He's in the closest intimacy possible with the Father because he's the second person of the Godhead. Watch. He, the Son, the divine and only Son, has made him, the Father, known. So, he has exegeted the Father for us. And remember what the word exegete means. It means to go into the deepest, most intimate part of something to fully understand what it is, whether it's the scripture or whether it's the character of God the Father, and then to bring it out and explain it and reveal it to us as human beings. This is what the Bible says God the Son, the Lord Jesus, did when he was here on earth. Remember what he said to Philip. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know who I am? He who has seen me has seen the Father. The words I speak, I got them from the Father. The actions I take, I got them from the Father. The attitudes I display are the attitudes of the Father. The interaction with human beings that I have with mercy and forgiveness, that is the heart of the Father. The harsh words that I have for the rabbis who are frauds and fakes and hypocrites, that's how God feels about them. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I exegete him. I'm here to exegete him for you, to bring out the deepest and most intrinsic part of what he is, and then reveal it and explain it to you. And so let's summarize. How are you and I ever going to know who God is? How are you and I ever going to understand who God is? How are you and I ever going to appreciate and get a grasp and a handle on who the true and living God of the universe is? Well, we're going to do it through the revelation that God gives of himself through our Lord Jesus Christ, who exegetes God and explains him and reveals him and makes him known in his true character to us. Now, the Bible didn't say that Joseph Smith exegeted God for us. The Bible doesn't say that Muhammad exegeted God for us. The Bible doesn't say Confucius exegeted God for us. Buddha exegeted God for us. L. Ron Hubbard, Mary Baker Eddy exegeted God for us. It doesn't say any rabbi who's ever lived. I don't care if he's Maimonides or who he is, if he didn't know Christ. He's never exegeted God for us. Never. Only one person's capable of that, because only one person has ever seen God. Oh, and he is God. And he's in the closest intimacy. He's in the bosom of the Father. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God really is and what God is really like, there's only one person you're ever going to get that information from correctly. And that is the Son of God, the second person in the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage, but we want to stop and we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Come on now. Here we go. Come on, nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. Yes. Hey, let me get my little sign here. Ready? Here we go. How sweet it is. I had my heart surgery 2 weeks. This is live. 2 years ago, this past week. And I'm still here teaching the word of God, baby. How sweet it is. Right. So what's the not a sermon, just a thought? What's the takeaway from all of this? Well, hey, just before I do that, though, I want to say two quick things. Number one, I had a wonderful gentleman, Dr. Sullivan, who listens to me from Vienna, write me and say, hey, how did your reunion go with your fraternity brothers? We never heard. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should have reported back. I know many of you were praying with me. It went really well. I had a good opportunity to share what the Lord has done in my life. I gave out my testimony cards with the QR of my testimony on it that they can scan in their phone to everybody there who would take it. I had some wonderful personal conversations about the Lord with some old fraternity brothers. Thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for me. Let's pray many of those conversations come to fruition and people end up in heaven. And one other thing, last week we talked about the Council of Nicaea, and I told you there was, in addition to clarifying, well, not clarifying, but codifying the position of the church on the deity of Christ, It also settled a big argument between two church fathers about the deity of Christ, Athanasius and Arius. And I told you, you spell Arius A-R-I-A-S. That was wrong. It's A-R-I-U-S. You say, Lon, we would never have known that. I know, but I always try to be as accurate as I can. And I caught myself, and I just want to correct that spelling, A-R-I-U-S. Now, let's go on. What does all this have to do with us today? Very simple, friends. You want to know God? Then Jesus Christ is the only option you've got, because he's the only one who's ever known the real true God. Not Muhammad, not Confucius, not Buddha, not L. Ron Hubbard, not a rabbi. No, he's the one in the bosom of the Father who has exegeted God for us. To going into the deepest, most intimate part of God, bringing out the words of God and the character of God and the attitudes of God and the ways of God, and then explaining them to us to the degree that we're capable of understanding it. Now, I want to show you something Jesus said in the Bible that's really amazing. Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Look at this. All things, Jesus said, have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is but the Father. No one knows who the Father is, look at this, but the Son. Not Muhammad, not Confucius, not Buddha, not your friend. No, only the Son, watch, and he to whom the Son wills or is pleased to reveal him. How are you going to get to know God? The only way is through Jesus, and he's the only one who knows the Father. And if you want to know the Father, then Jesus has to be pleased to reveal him to you. Now, how does Jesus do that? Well, there are three things I want to say to you, and then I'm done. Number one, look with me at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I got to hurry here. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Look at this. For since the creation of the world, his, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You say, wait a minute, what's that mean? It means that many of God's invisible attributes, many of his invisible intrinsic characteristics are evidenced in creation, in the natural world, namely, look at this, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The first way we can understand God in a very rudimentary way is to look at the creation. And the Bible says two parts of God's character are visible, and we can know this about him in the creation. Number one, his eternal power. And number two, his Godhead, his being God. What this means is when we look at the natural world, two messages about God come through to us. Number one, there is a God, his Godhead. And number two, he is an amazingly, eternally powerful God to be able to have made all of this. You didn't make it. I didn't make it. Who made it? I told you about that doctor friend that I said to him, after you've worked on the human body in medical school, how can you possibly believe that there's not a God? His Jesus' Godhead, the Father's Godhead, is visible in the human body and the way it works and the amazing complexity of our world and his eternal power. Who could do this? The universe, except a God of immense power. Okay, now that's the first way we can learn a little bit about God. Rudimentary, yes, but Jesus says, the Bible says, everybody ought to be able to figure that out. The verse ends, so that they, human beings, are without excuse. If somebody stands before God and said, well, I didn't really know that you existed, God will say, I'm sorry, I don't buy that, and that is not going to work for you. You are without excuse. You should have been able to look around at the trees and nature and the animal kingdom and the human body and the heavens, and you should have been able to say, there has got to be a God. This just couldn't happen. You are without excuse. But that's about as far as you can go from natural creation. Say, well, how am I going to get to know God better then? What did the Bible say? Who exegetes God for us? Well, the Lord Jesus. And the first way he did it, number two, not just in natural creation, but in the Word of God. Here in the Word of God, we find God explained to us by the writers, by the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible, and by the Lord Jesus himself in the words that he spoke. This is how he has exegeted God for us here in the Bible, explaining to us in the Bible the character of God, the attitudes of God, the things God likes, the things God hates, the holiness of God, all of the God's attributes. Where do we get them from? Right here in the Bible. The Bible is divine revelation, meaning it reveals things to us about God that we could never discover on our own, but that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus have exegeted for us about God. So, every time we read the Bible, what should we say? We should say, Lord, show me something about yourself. Teach me as I read today something about God. I mean, it's great to be able to memorize, you know, all the kings of Israel, but that's not why God wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible so that we could learn about him. When we open it for our quiet time or any time we read it in church, we should say, Lord, teach me something about you today. That's what the Bible was written to do. Teach me about you, whether it's your plan of salvation or your character or your judgment to come or whatever. You with me? Okay. Now, finally, last thing I want to say is, even though that revelation is in the Bible, haven't you met people who read the Bible and they go, you know, I read this and I don't get a single thing out of this. I can't understand a thing. Yeah, friends, just because the revelation about God's characters in the Bible doesn't automatically mean that everybody who reads the Bible is going to get it. Oh, no. God has to illuminate our spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has to open our heart and our mind to the Word of God so that we get it. This is what happens when we come to Christ. Suddenly, you know, God's been broadcasting in the Bible, but our receiver's been broken. And when we come to Christ, we come alive spiritually, and suddenly our receiver gets fixed and comes on. And that's why after we come to Christ, we read the Bible and we go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This is awesome. I got goosebumps. Yeah, because your receiver's working. But that's because the Holy Spirit is now living inside of you, and he's now illuminating your heart and your mind when you open the scripture so that you can understand it. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look what Paul says. Let's look at verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, is hidden, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. This is why when you share the gospel with people or they read the Bible, they don't get it. Satan has blinded their minds. Even though the truth of God is in the Bible, unless the Holy Spirit illuminates us, we won't get it. And that's what the next verse says. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness in Genesis 1. Watch. Who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does this verse say? Man, this is the most amazing verse. that the reason we get it is because God has shined in our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit and illuminated our heart and enlightened our heart and turned the receiver on so that we suddenly can get it. So how do we get to know God? Number one, we look at creation. We can figure out there is a God and he's a powerful being. Number two, we go into his word. But number three, even when we go into his word, we can't get it. We can't grasp it unless the Holy Spirit is shining in our heart and enabling us to understand spiritual truth. This is what Paul says. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. This is an amazing passage also. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God, the gospel, in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which the Lord ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, understood. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us, watch, by his Spirit. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, understand, the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 14, but the natural man, the unsaved man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Friends, only when the Holy Spirit is giving us the ability to spiritually discern the truth of the Bible, do we get it. And you know, this is the ministry, one of the key ministries of the Holy Spirit in our heart and in our life. So, when you open the Bible to study, remember, you say, God, teach me about you today from the Bible. And Lord, that'll only happen if the Holy Spirit illuminates my heart and my mind today, shines in my heart and my mind spiritually, allows me to discern spiritual truth. So Lord, may the Holy Spirit, may he minister and do his work so that I can get what you've revealed about yourself in the Bible to me. Bingo. That's when you start cooking with gas, friends. And remember, the Bible mentions that this dichotomy between people who look at the things God does and don't get them, and people who look at the things God does and has written, and they get it. Look what the Bible says, Psalm 103, and with this I'm done. He, God, made known his, look at this, his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. Now that contrast is not accidental. The sons of Israel, the Israelites, got to see God's acts. But Moses was illuminated by God's Spirit, so he got to understand God's ways. The Israelites saw what God did. Moses was enabled to understand why God did what God did, why God does what God does, his ways, not just his acts. Friends, you just don't want to know God's acts in the Bible. You want to know his ways. And even as you look at the world, even just the wisdom of how God moves and how God acts and why he does what he does, the Holy Spirit can give that to us, even apart from the Bible. As we grow in our walk with God, he can communicate that to our spirit. So we begin to go, wow, okay, I can almost predict what God's going to do here. How can you almost predict what God's going to do? Because the Holy Spirit has made known to me the ways of God over the years and why God does what God does. And because of that, sometimes I can actually kind of guess almost what God's going to do. Because of knowing his ways. This is where God wants to take you in your walk with God. This is where God wants to take me in my walk with God. Who can take us here? The Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, exegetes God for us, and the Holy Spirit, who lives in our heart, shines and illuminates so that we can spiritually discern what God's up to and who he is from his word. Okay, how do we get to know God? We ask the Lord Jesus to exegete him for us, and we ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate him for us each and every day, and especially as we sit down to open his word. That's how we do it. And that will bring a whole new dimension to your walk with God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for exegeting God for us, for reaching down into the most intimate parts of him and exegeting, bringing out from that character and attributes of God that you then reveal and make known to us in the Bible and even directly to our heart through your Holy Spirit living in us. Lord, help us to seek to know you correctly through the power of your Spirit and the power of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what'd you say? Amen. Okay. Well, wow. We'll move on, Lord willing, in John chapter 8 next week. And this week, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, teach me who God is. Let's ask him that all week. God bless you.